Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Yeah, have a great show.
Serving the great Midwest from Chicago, this is WGN at AM 720 on your radio and on smart devices anywhere just by saying play WGN Radio on TuneIn.
WGN Chicago.
A Nexstar Media Group station.
It's 60 degrees at 1 o'clock p.m. Good afternoon. I'm Jen DeSalvo. A woman claims she can prove she didn't kill the girlfriend of former Chicago Bear Sean Gale. She's serving two life sentences. The petition seeks a whole new trial or a new hearing on the evidence. Her son, Marnie Yang, says his mother was forced to confess to do something she did not do.
And that was only because the Lake County Task Force put so much pressure on me to basically confess to it also.
Her attorney says there is a recorded phone call from back then in which Yang said she planned to make up a story about her involvement in the death. Prosecutors continue to push for a terrorism charge against Javier Garcia, the man who drove an SUV through Woodfield Mall. The state's attorney's office pointing to the evidence that Garcia searched Woodfield online over 120 times before the incident, showing intent. But after Garcia smashed his car into the mall, knocking down kiosks and hitting walls, he was taken to a mental health institution. Amil Al-Kassi is Garcia's attorney.
It just seems overreaching. And, you know, if they want to make an example of somebody, this is not the case to do it.
Garcia is expected to enter a not guilty plea when he appears in court in 2 weeks. Officials in Connecticut say multiple people are dead after a World War II military plane crashed at Bradley International Airport today. State Police Commissioner James Rovella is at the site.
I will not tell you the number yet because during this investigation, it is far too early to discuss those. Only because we have a crash, we have a burn. Victims are very difficult to identify. We don't want to make a mistake.
We will keep you informed with more details as we get them to the WGN newsroom. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo acknowledged today for the first time that he was listening in on President Trump's controversial phone call with the president of Ukraine. During that July phone call, Trump pressed the Ukrainian president to dig up damaging information on former vice president and 2020 Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden and Biden's son Hunter. The call is at the center of the House impeachment inquiry into Trump. India is taking some big steps to ban plastic. ABC's Sherry Preston.
To mark the 150th anniversary of Mahatma Gandhi's birth, India has announced it's undertaken a plan to eliminate all single-use plastics within 3 years. That means grocery bags, food packaging, plastic bottles, straws, and cutlery would be off the market throughout India by 2022. Most states already have regulations on single-use plastics in India, but the problem is a massive one. As of right now, the country generates 33 million pounds of plastic waste every single day.
An Oaklawn man is dead after he was shot by a Southwest Suburban Bridgeview police officer during a minor traffic accident. Authorities say 32-year-old Joseph Jess drove a vehicle into the rear of a squad car last night near 103rd in Harlem. When the officer went to check for damage, the suspect got out and allegedly pointed a gun at him. The patrolman fired at Jess and struck him. Your money, sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN.
Grandma, your pierogies are amazing.
Oh, thanks, you Dickie Jr.
So you said you need help?
Grandma, update kitchen.
Finally gonna get rid of the butter churn, huh?
No, his new model from 1898. Fix the rest of kitchen.
Okay.
Today's money, Grandma need help selling family heirloom.
Whoa, no, I didn't even know we had a family heirloom.
It's very, very precious.
Well, don't sell it, Grandma. Get a home equity loan from First American Bank.
First American?
Yeah, First American has the best loan deals in town. No application fees and great rates.
So you take Grandma to First American?
Sure, yeah, but can I see the family heirloom first?
Make ready your eyes, Junior.
Whoa!
It's a big rock.
Used to hit Viking named Shlomo on head during raid in 1028.
Let me guess, you bought it online.
Grandma also buy bell from Mrs. O'Leary's cow.
Uh-huh.
First American does more for your money. Visit firstambank.com. Call us at 847-952-3700. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
DriveChicago.com.
Your only source for pre-owned vehicles in Chicagoland.
Buy from a dealer you can trust.
Thousands of high-quality manufacturer-certified vehicles.
Many coming off lease right now.
Log on.
DriveChicago.com.
Your money on WGN. The Dow was down 549 points. The NASDAQ's down 140 points. And the S&P 500 is down 55 points. In WGN Sports, the Blackhawks open the season on Friday in Prague against the Philadelphia Flyers. The pregame with Chris Bowden at 12:30. Faceoff happens after that at 1 with John Weideman and Troy Murray on 720 WGN. And over on our stream at WGNRadio.com. Tonight, Tampa Bay visits Oakland in the American League wildcard game. And in WGN traffic, a few new crashes popped up just recently in Long Grove, Route 53 southbound at Lake Cook Road. Watch out for that one. In Elgin, McLean Boulevard just south of Big Timber Road, another accident. And on the Eisenhower, a crash has been reported outbound at Des Plaines Avenue. The outbound side of the Eisenhower, 23 minutes to Mannheim, 36 out to 390. The inbound side, 39 from 390 into the old post office. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. And the forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. Today, cloudy, cooler, breezy, showers and drizzle all day long, a high of 66. Tonight, some showers are likely, a low of 59. And tomorrow morning showers possible, but mostly cooler, cloudy, breezy throughout the day with a high of 67. And on Friday, partly to mostly cloudy, cooler, we're just going to see a high of 59 degrees. Currently at 60 at O'Hare, 62 at Midway, 60 in Morton Grove, and 60 on Chicago's lakefront. I'm Jen DeSalvo in the WGN Newsroom, ready to join the conversation live whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Thinking big thoughts. So you don't have to.
Cold out there.
Here's John Williams.
Hi, it's John. We're in the Skyline Studio, downtown Chicago. No good being 18 stories up when you can't see 18 stories up downtown. We got mist and fog and cooler temperatures today. How are you? We're here till 3. I'm going to look on the bright side. I'll be all sunny and warm. We've got a lot of ground to cover today. I think you're going to like the show. Of course, I've been wrong before, but I'm going to do my best. Remember, we're on Saturdays from 10 to noon, and I hope you do listen to the podcast, The Mincing Rascals. You can say to your smart speaker, if you've never done this, do this today. Play The Mincing Rascals podcast, and there you will hear the latest episode. A new one goes up tomorrow, so maybe last week's Thursday drop will sound a little dated, but we got a new one coming for you. Remember, too, you can also look it up on Spotify, if that's where you listen to music and stuff. It's there, as well as on our website and on my Facebook page, on social media. I'm WGN King John. But it's, what did you say the current temperature is, Jen DeSalvo, outside right now?
I don't have to do it in Siri voice, do I?
No, you do not.
Oh, okay, it's 60 degrees.
60 degrees. It was 86 yesterday, so that's a 26-degree drop.
I'm okay with this. Yesterday was miserable.
Tribune has a story. I stepped outside yesterday and went, yes! Thank you, because I liked that yesterday. It was 86, and this morning it was at 57, so that's almost a 30-degree swing, says the Chicago Tribune. It got me thinking, although speaking of that, Jim, Producer Aleph, what is the single biggest one-day temperature drop in Illinois, please?
The city's largest, greatest one-day change was 52 degrees from 62 to 10 on February 8th, 1900.
62 to 10. 62 to 10? 62 degrees to 10 degrees?
Yes.
Wow.
Didn't we have a day over the winter that it went from like 32 degrees to negative 50, like overnight?
32 to negative 50 overnight?
I don't think it was that drastic, but it was.
I looked up the coldest temperature in Illinois history, and that's minus 36 degrees, I think. Coldest it ever was January 5th, 1999. It got down to minus 36 degrees in Congerville, Illinois. What is the fastest, biggest temperature swing? Producer Aleph.
The city's largest short-term drop was a 22-degree plunge from 84 to 62 in just 150 seconds on May 9th, 1963,
John. Oh, that's nice. That's nice. So what was the temperature swing in 190 seconds or whatever that was? What was the temperature from what to what?
84 to 62, John.
84 to 62. So that's 22 degrees in a couple of minutes. That's kind of scary. That's a front coming through. And you go, hokey smokes, this is apocalyptic. All right. So it's not a record setter, but it's cooler today than it was yesterday. Hey, is this a big deal or not? We don't have to dwell on this. In fact, we won't. The president's on a kind of a Twitter tirade. He's really upset right now. And maybe you don't blame him if you're on his side. I mean, he feels that all of this action about him is unfair and unwarranted. So he's going on kind of a Twitter rant. Even by his standards, this is a bit much. These are his tweets. I have the last nine. I won't read them in their entirety. But a little while ago, he tweeted, Congressman Adam Schiff should resign for the crime of fraudulently fabricating a statement. And then he tweeted, All the do nothing Democrats are focused on impeachment, bad for country. And then he tweeted, hashtag do nothing Dems. And then he tweeted, Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats have not met the standard of impeachment. That was a quote from Fox News. And then he tweeted, now the press is trying to sell the fact that I wanted a moat stuffed with alligators and snakes with an electrified fence and sharp spikes on top at our southern border. Fake news, exclamation point. And then he tweeted, this is all within a matter of about 60 minutes. And then he tweeted, all of this impeachment nonsense is driving your 401ks down. But that is exactly what the Democrats want to do. And then he tweeted, Nancy Pelosi just said that she is interested in lowering prescription drug prices and working on the desperately needed USMCA. She is incapable of working on either. It is just camouflage. And then he tweeted, Adam Schiff should be so lucky to have the brains, honor, and strength of Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. And then he tweeted, the do-nothing Democrats should be focused on building up our country, not wasting everyone's time and energy on BS. And he didn't mince the words. That phrase, BS, is typed out in capital letters. He wrote, which is what they have been doing ever since I got overwhelmingly elected in 2016, 223 to 306. Get a better candidate this time, you'll need it. So CNN and everybody else is going to be writing and talking a lot about his typing out not just BS, but all of the letters that go with that in his tweet today. I was talking to one Pete McMurray, which I shouldn't do because Pete just got us in all kinds of trouble yesterday. But Pete didn't think it was a very big deal. I mean, just because I think that's how Pete was putting it. That is, we've heard that before. It's beneath the dignity of a typical president, but this isn't a typical president. And that's kind of where I am on this one. I literally shared with some family and friends, hey, what do you know? The president tweeted out that word. But I don't think that tells you anything new about this president that you didn't already know. I don't think his supporters are going to be bothered by it. I don't think the people that are on the fence about him are going to be moved by it. So I think it's just a couple of words that aren't going to land that resoundingly. It shows how frustrated he is today, but I think that's my only takeaway. Put it this way. I don't think anybody is holding Donald Trump up to their kids and saying, someday you can be like this. Maybe you did when Ronald Reagan was president. Maybe you did when Barack Obama was president. But I don't think anybody is saying that about Donald Trump. Donald Trump is more the end justifies the means president, asks the Christian right. This is where we want to be, and we'll get there any way we can. So that's Donald Trump. It's not a pretty package, but it's going to get the job done. The economy's good and stuff like that. So I think the idea that this might be upsetting to school teachers or parents of children or, anybody. I don't think preachers are going to preach about it. I don't think that word bothers people too much, but I could be wrong. My number is 312-981-7200, and you can call or text to that number. And then tell me, too, if you guys agree with this. Did you see that Fortune magazine? Was it Fortune that came out with this list? No, it's Money. Money magazine's 100 best places to live. Chicago, one of the neighborhoods in Chicago, is on the list. In fact, it's in the top five. Which Chicago neighborhood would you guess is in Money Magazine's annual list of the best places to live in 2019? It's in the top five. What's better than that? It's number four. Would you guess? Is it the Gold Coast? Is it Wrigleyville?
Are we guessing right now?
Yeah, go ahead.
North Center.
Nice. No. You might guess Andersonville. A lot of people like to shop and hang out there. No.
Is it downtown Chicago?
It's closer to downtown Chicago.
Oh.
Then I'm going to say, I just had it. Logan Square.
Negative.
The New East Side.
Negative.
Lakeview. Lincoln Park.
The correct answer is, this is kind of funny to me, the Fulton Market District.
Oh, why didn't we guess that?
For restaurants and, you know, growing businesses. But there's condos over there and people are living there. And I've gone through there a lot. Brenda and I were there this weekend. We went over to the Randolph Street Market, which is a great thing to do.
That is true. I feel like I go through there maybe once every 6 months and there's like 17 new high-rises or something.
And 82 restaurants now. They are everywhere over there. And Google is over there. And there's the Oprah Studios used to be out that way. It's kind of a, there's a lot of room, but there's also now a lot of stuff packing into the West Fulton Market District. And if you go into that area, it's a fun place to visit, but I do not think I would want to live there. I don't know. It's close to downtown, they say. It's in Chicago. The skyline's right there. Shoot, you're right down, you know, Randolph or Adams, pick the street. It's not hard to get from there to the highway or downtown.
Yeah, I very much disagree with those people because why would you want to be in such a concentrated place with so many people running around? It's noisy, too close to the city. Ugh.
There is no place to let your dog go potty.
Well, there's not much of that in the city anyway.
Yeah.
I think that's a real problem. I don't know if going to the potty for your dog is a factor in ranking places to live, but people love their dogs. The dog's got to go to the bathroom. And if you walk around downtown Chicago, and you do, people are walking their dogs and they got no place to go. They have no place to go. There is so little green space in the city of Chicago. I mean, really, we've got Millennium Park, but you're not supposed to walk your dog over there. You got Grant Park, but nobody lives there. Right. I mean, it's fun to drive by, but it's not exactly convenient for dogs. Dogs live in Logan Square, for crying out loud. This is a funny list, though, because the Fulton Market District, which is currently in the midst of a commercial and technological transformation, according to today's Chicago Sun Crimes, was named number four in the 100 best places to live in America. According to, it's a great place to go have restaurants, great place to go bar hopping. You want to live there? Money cited the neighborhood's close proximity to the Loop, its lower rent and home prices, $200,000 for a one-bedroom apartment. I'm not sure that's so true anymore. And the rapid development of new buildings like Google. There's also the heavenly scent of chocolate that wafts through the area. I don't love that. Construction in the Fulton Market won't be slowing anytime soon. Earlier this week, developers submitted a zoning application for a new 18-story city tech center that's going to go up there. Last month, two other developments submitted zoning applications for two separate projects, a six-story office building and an eight-story office building. But residents need not worry about all that development impacting infrastructure. In August, the city planners hired a consultant to examine whether the streets, sewers, and other infrastructure can handle all the changes. What beat out Fulton Market District for the top three places to live? It's the number four best place to live in America. Number one is Clarksville, Tennessee. I would imagine two different places you could not find, two more different places. Number two is Found Rock, Texas, which doesn't sound like a big place. And number three is Fishers, Indiana. I don't know anything about any of those places, but those are the three best places to live in America. Other Illinois cities to crack the top 100 include Naperville at 45, Vernon Township at 65, and Hey, Bolingbrook, I'm happy for you. Bolingbrook is number 85 on the list, but I don't see it. There is an interesting caveat about this. Only four cities could be chosen from each state. So ours are that neighborhood in Chicago, Naperville, Vernon Township, and Bolingbrook. Those are the four dream places in Illinois, according to Money Magazine. Hey, I'm not laughing at you. Not laughing at you. I'm laughing a little at you. But here's the other caveat. Any place that made the list last year was not included, and you could only have one place per county. I think Bolingbrook is in Will County, probably. So all of Chicago and all of Cook County gets one. So then Kane County, Kendall County, they could have one too. But you can't have two in a county, which seems like a silly way to put up with the list, Money Magazine, but there you are. It's 120 on WGN. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. When the president puts out that word, does that bother you? Should that get our attention? I'm just curious. This is your chance to call. I've been getting this phone call a lot lately. Tell me if you've heard this one before. I had it twice today. Sometimes when you get a fraud call, you don't pick up, they don't say anything, but I've been getting this fraudulent call, and it has been leaving this message.
Before this matter goes to the courthouse, and we freeze your bank accounts and suspend your social security number and get you arrested. For more information regarding this case, you can get back to us at 434-658-0247. I repeat, 434-658-0247. Make sure you give us a call back before you get arrested.
How about that? Then they call back again with the same message. Make sure you call this number back before you get arrested. And they do leave a number which I haven't called. We reached out to the Illinois Attorney General's office, the fraud division, to see if they can tell us what people are doing with that. But I don't know what else you can do. They know the number. Somebody's lobbing that thing out there and getting credit card or social security information and scamming people. Play it again, Elif. This is a little muddy, but this is the way it sounds on my phone.
Before this matter goes to the courthouse, and we freeze your bank accounts and suspend your social security number and get you arrested. For more information,
get you arrested. I mean, there's a population of people out there that when they hear that are going to get really nervous. I could see how that would actually get some people to call. Some people, you don't need many. And then once they call, That's a fish on the line, isn't it? About the president's use of the word BS. 708 said, King John, if it's not a big deal, why don't you use the phrase instead of abbreviating BS in your story? You are a coward. It is a big deal. Signed, Bill in Mokena. Bill, I think it is a big... Well, I think it's a big enough deal that I'm not going to use it. But I don't know that it says anything about this president that surprises us. I don't think that makes me a coward. You think it's a big deal? That's why I asked. 630 said, I'm glad my son is only 5 years old, so I can shield him from this. 708 said, he isn't frustrated. He's losing his mind. And he should resign, or better yet, the 25th Amendment. Him swearing is the least concerning thing he's done recently. 815, I agree what the president tweeted is not offensive in general. However, the point at which we start saying, well, that's just how the president is, and don't hold him to the same standard that the office deserves, that's just sad. And that is offensive to me, says 815. You can text to 312-981-7200 and give your thoughts on all of this. Later, we'll talk about, there are other things to talk about today. I'm very interested in why people are leaving Illinois, why they're leaving Bolingbrook or Fulton Market District, Vernon Township, and what was the other one in the state? One of them I don't think I've ever heard of. Vernon Township, Bolingbrook, Naperville. Okay, I guess it's Vernon Township. I don't know where Vernon Township is. Naperville, Vernon Township, Bolingbrook.
And is that like Mount Vernon and Vernon Hills?
Oh, yeah, maybe so, but then it would be Vernon Hills, right? Yeah, maybe that's the same thing.
Maybe both of them are part of Vernon Township.
Right.
We'll look it up.
Naperville's 45, Vernon Township, number 65, place to live in America, and third best place to live in Illinois. And Bolingbrook is number 85. You know,
I have the answer.
I've been chuckling just because I don't that often see wonderful things said about Bolingbrook. So I'm happy for you, Bolingbrook. Where is Vernon Township?
Well, it says that services are available to residents in all or portions of the villages of Buffalo Grove, Indian Creek, Lincolnshire, Long Grove, Metawan, Mundelein, Riverwoods, Vernon Hills, and the city of Lake Forest, and unincorporated Vernon Township.
So they're in those nice north neighborhoods or suburbs.
Yeah. I mean, I know townships typically incorporate like four different municipalities.
I think that's cheating, frankly. You're either, you know, one of those towns, or you're not. They're throwing in the whole township there, huh?
I mean, they get Lincolnshire and Lake Forest.
I know, that's, well, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Give me some of that, said Bolingbrook. I'd move up even higher. So the Tribune's been running a story on why people are exiting the Chicago area and why they're exiting Illinois. And we'll talk with two of the reporters about that after the news. What are you thinking, Ms. Garris?
Well, someone just called in and told me that Vernon Township is up north. It's not near Naperville. Is that what you...
Yeah, we got that. You were on the phone. So Naperville's over there, and this would be up north. Yeah.
Thanks.
And when you give us those towns, then it's not surprising at all. What else did I want to mention? We've also reached out to our local zoos to see what advice they have for people if they think about jumping into a lion enclosure.
Really? Really?
Whenever I see a video like the one that's making headlines today, I'm sorry. If that person has a mental illness, then I don't mean this. But if it's just somebody who thinks it would be fun to be cute on Instagram or Facebook, I'm rooting for the lion. A lady jumped over the fence in the enclosure and got down into, it wasn't a zoo, it wasn't in a cage, but she got into the area where a lion is, and now the lion's standing there looking at her, and she's doing a little dance. She's taunting the lion. And I'm thinking, dude, that's on the house. That's a snackable right there, buddy. You just have at it. But again, if that's a person who's got a mental illness, something else is going on, then I don't mean that.
But for everybody else, the best advice is just don't do it.
Don't do that.
Don't do it.
And I wonder what the likelihood is. This is my question for the lion expert. I wonder what the likelihood is that the lion will act aggressively in that situation. You know? Will a lion charge you in that situation? Or if you stay clear of a lion, he doesn't want to rumble with you. You can dance all you want. I don't know what the disposition of a lion is. John Fisher's, Indiana, is a suburb of Indianapolis. Indianapolis is a nice town. John, I think it's Round Rock, Texas, and that's near Austin, was one of those other towns. John, about the president's tweet, it's just another example of how unpresidential he is. To heck with the word, John, it's just a lowbrow expression. How do you explain the president's bullying a 10-year-old getting school lessons about anti-bullying? Not exactly sure what 10-year-old they're talking about there. If they're talking about that young woman who is the climate advocate, the president did tweet at her, and it was a little taunting. In fact, he said, oh, she's just a nice lady or a nice little girl or something like that, but it was condescending. She changed her Twitter bio to what the president said, which some people thought in the Twitterverse gives her the upper hand. But that he went after her, I think, is proof that he's not following the First Lady's be best, no bullying message, that's for sure. Okay, it's 1:30, almost 1 now. We'll pause, come back with our friends from the Tribune about why folks are leaving the state of Illinois and the city of Chicago. This would be a good time to go ahead and guess a temperature, don't you think?
Yeah, so Lake Michigan water temperature
is...
Oh, am I supposed 59. To jump in with that?
We've had winds from the north. It's 85, 87, 86. Stand by. 61, final answer.
Do you promise this is the last time we'll do this?
What is the water temperature, please?
61 degrees.
Booyah!
I'm Steve Bertrand in the WG newsroom, and most of these are the stories that matter.
It's a gift.
On 720 WG.
Too bad Bertrand's not here to hear the replay from yesterday's show, but that was, I don't know, does the word impressive come to mind? It's 1:36. on WGN a little while ago, I played for you a call I've been getting, a fraudulent call saying, give me your Social Security number, you could be arrested. Have you been getting that too? A lot of you have as well. Some of you have. Some of you have not called the Attorney General, but you're not getting any satisfaction. You're still getting those calls about the president's tweeting out that word B and S today, those two words. 815 texted in and said, that word doesn't bother me, John, or those words. It's his other words that are scaring me. And somebody else texted in and said, I've never heard of a Social Security number being frozen. Well, they're just trying to scare these people, and I guess it is working on some. I'll tell you what's working on others. It's the state of Illinois, so bad that folks are exiting this state more than other states. If you've been seeing the series of stories in the Chicago Tribune since this spring, the latest in front of me says there's a lot of talk about an Illinois exodus. We take a closer look at the reality behind the chatter. In our studio, two of the reporters that have been working on that, Cecilia Reyes and Patrick O'Connell. Welcome both to the studio. How are you?
Thank you for having us.
We're good, John. Thanks.
So where did you get the data? Is this census stuff you've been looking at?
Yeah. This is for the most part, this is census information that comes either from surveying or a mix.
What are the headlines? So more people leaving Illinois than other states? Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the states that are adjacent to Illinois, that's certainly true. But it kind of plays into what the region as a whole is dealing with.
So keep going.
Right. So it's not necessarily only a problem of Illinois to have had more people leave than come in the past. It's kind of this rust belt, aging infrastructure, aging cities, kind of having to come up with what it's going to be the next best thing.
Where do people go?
But in Illinois, specifically, they're mostly going to those adjacent states. So the top one, when you look at census data, is Indiana. And we're talking about 9% of people who are leaving are going to that state. So it's still not like it's the overall best choice for everybody. You know, it's not like half of the people who are leaving are going to Indiana, but that's the top destination.
Are they leaving to retire, or are they leaving because they don't want to live and work here?
Well, I think that answer is sort of at the core of what we're trying to look at here, right? In terms of it's very specific to individual people. It's very individualize why people move, right? But people tend to move based on very personal factors to them and their family situation. Either they're downsizing, so they're moving to a smaller place, which doesn't necessarily mean they're moving out of the state, but they could be looking at other factors like commuting. Jobs is obviously a huge one. And so in addition to what Cecilia mentioned about Indiana or Wisconsin, people are moving to states where there is a lot of job creation going on, Texas, or just simply a lot of jobs, New York, California, for instance.
Yeah. So from what we were able to find out when we were looking just the data, because there's no shortage of narratives or like personal stories of people who are telling us, you know, I moved because, you know, my family said California was great or it was time to retire. What we found when we looked at data that was available is that 1 in 3 moves from people who moved from Illinois to other states was related to getting a new job or being transferred from your job.
Yeah.
So 1 in 3 moves is job related. The other top category reasons that people reported moving were kind of non-specific, family-related, housing-related. That can, of course, mean a lot of different things, and we're not able to suss out specifically what it is in those categories that moved people to go.
I might want to leave Illinois, but I may not have a choice. I got to have a job if I'm not retired. If I'm retirable, then maybe I've got more options. But a lot of people can't leave even if they wanted to.
Definitely, and that's one thing that we were very conscious of when we were writing the stories, is that this census data that we used was really only asking people, did you change your residence? It's not asking you, did you want to leave that residence, for example.
I wonder if people are unhappy with Illinois, and if they are, because some people move and they don't want to. You know, they've been transferred, or they love Illinois, but they can't afford taxes in Oak Park, so they had to move or whatever. I wonder if people are unhappy about Illinois, what is it that they are unhappy about? Does the data say anything about that?
Yes and no. I'll answer from in terms of people that we spoke to for this story, several different people mentioning what they were unhappy about. Lack of parking spaces outside of their condominium and just being so frustrated at that.
That's a density issue. Keep going.
Right. Gridlock.
Yeah.
The amount of time behind a steering wheel getting to and from work or school. Schooling and the quality thereof of schools, particularly in the city. And then, of course, worry about what you mentioned, right? The overall atmosphere of Illinois politics, concern about the direction of the state, lack of forward thinking on the part of officials to try to solve some of these problems or at least to address them.
Is crime an issue for people exiting the state?
At least from the data that we were able to look at, crime was an option that people could report as being a top reason fueling a move. And that did not rise to the top reasons that
really?
People said.
That's
yeah.
interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting because it is in people's minds. But I think when it comes to a move, like Patrick was saying earlier, it involves a lot of personal decisions that have to go into a calculus of what would it involve for me to actually move? Can I move? Do I have the money to? Do I have a job waiting for me on the other end?
So if you're on the south or west side, maybe you don't have the resources. And if you're not on the south or west side, this is an observation that isn't new to this show, but we've talked about it a lot. If you live in Naperville, we were talking about Naperville a little while ago, crime isn't a problem. People aren't getting gunned down in the majority of the places where most people live in Chicago. It's horrible in some areas, but for 85, I don't know what the number is, percentage of the people in the city of Chicago, they aren't dodging bullets. Crime isn't a problem for them.
Right, and I think what also is key to look at when we're talking about Illinois' population loss is that Illinois has been losing population for decades, right? And I think the part of the reason why we're focusing on it now is that it's getting more attention. We're talking about it on shows like yourself, but also that part of this the factor is Illinois' lack of bringing people in, right? So if you look at the data, Illinois is actually number 21, right in the middle of the pack in terms of the rate of domestic outmigration. In other words, people moving the state for other states. But where Illinois really lags is in attracting new residents. In 2017, Illinois' rate of in-migration, people moving in from other states, was third to last nationally. So a big part of this equation in population loss is what, you know, people moving out, but whether people are moving in from other places.
So it's the difference that's the real number here. That's the net loss.
Right, right. This is this gap that is often interpreted as only being people who are moving away, not necessarily people who are coming in. And when Patrick was talking about this, always having this negative net loss, this has been going on since the 70s. And one other aspect to population loss has to do with something that we kind of forget about sometimes is this natural replacement, as you will. So it's people who are being born versus those who are dying off, and birth rates have been falling. This is kind of well-documented, not just for Illinois, but for the nation as a whole.
But tell me if this is true, then. What's more at play here is not people leaving. It's people from outside choosing not to come in. If we had that, I mean, you said we're in the middle of the pack, actually, for people exiting the state, but we're third to last for people choosing to or having the opportunity to come into the state, right? So maybe that's the fix. If I'm the governor or the mayor, maybe I'm not too alarmed that people are leaving. People are always going to leave, but are we doing enough to bring them back in? That's why, thanks for asking, that's why I worry about the misperception of the crime problem in this country. That's why Jussie Smollett actually hurts us more than just a waste of $100,000 at the city police department. I think that how the rest of the world thinks about Chicago and the state of Illinois almost matters as much as what it's really like.
Yeah, that certainly does play into whether somebody has the ability to make a choice about where they're going to go. But one thing also that is difficult for us when wanting to take a look at this from the data perspective is that we're also missing the stories from people who are not normally, you know, able to email us out of their busy days or who are not communicating issues like what you were talking about earlier, having real crime problems versus just perceiving that they exist elsewhere and being bothered by it.
I wonder, what would you suggest to the mayor or to the governor if they're looking at this going, shoot, if we're losing taxpayers in the process, right? So what advice do you have to them?
So in researching the story, we reached out to a lot of different demographers and experts, and I read a lot of papers that people much smarter than us have been working on, including some researchers at the University of Wisconsin. And they had a paper which was focusing on Wisconsin's population situation and population gain and loss and in and out migration, all the stuff that we're talking about. And one of the things that struck me was that they were saying that Wisconsin was having a problem with maintaining the population of recent college graduates, people that maybe they went elsewhere or maybe they stayed in state to get their college education, but then they moved elsewhere for jobs. The way that they dubbed this was focusing more, and their advice, their expert advice to policymakers and politicians, was to focus not so much on brain drain, but brain gain. And I think that that's that would directly answer your question. That's what I think that policymakers and politicians in Chicago and Illinois should be focusing
right,
on.
Right. So we should give Google the store then, right? I mean, really, if we want to attract businesses, I've never been a big fan of these great big tax breaks we give to companies like Amazon that could print money as fast as they are earning it, right? So, so while I don't like that in principle, maybe if we do want to attract young people and new people, we need to find those businesses that are attractive to them and pay that price. I don't know. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah. I mean, there's something to be said also about having one place that is taking a look at it within the state or within the city. For example, we talked to a woman who did a study, and she just very frankly told us that when she was done doing this, spent a lot of time and energy, she just didn't have a department in mind that she would send her findings to. She was like, okay, here's what I found. Here's where we are lacking. Whose desk do I put this on?
Whose job is it to fix this?
Exactly.
We don't have that.
I mean, we have a lot of people who are talking about it being a problem and who are making it an issue in the campaign trail. But after that, and there's no shortage of outrage, I think, from people about this issue.
Yeah.
After that, it's a little harder to put forth.
It's a very interesting point. Cecilia Reyes is in our studio. Patrick O'Connell is here, too, reporters at the Chicago Tribune. Their series of articles talks about the Illinois exodus. A lot of you are calling and texting in, volunteering why you scrammed. Cecilia Reyes and Patrick O'Connell worked at the Tribune, still do. They worked on this Illinois exodus series. We're just talking about why people leave the state. And I think just as interestingly, why people don't come in or what Illinois should do about that. We've got some calls, too, guys. Anything you want to say before we pick up some phone lines? We're good? Okay. Let's start with Dennis. You're on WGN. Hi, Dennis. You're on the air. What's up?
Hi. I'm about 4 years away from retirement, and I'm not staying here. I want to have a retirement, and if I stay here, this state's going to take it from me. Every time I turn around, they got their hand off for something. Property taxes are ridiculous here.
Your retirement income in Illinois is not taxed like it is in other states.
I understand that, and the state I'm going to doesn't tax income either. Their sales tax is a little high, and their income tax is almost non-existent. The thing of it is like you take like your property taxes here. I don't understand in property taxes why a person, when you have a child that's not even in the schools anymore, and say my age and stuff, why am I still paying? And half of my property tax goes right to the school district. Why? I don't understand that at all.
Yeah,
I can buy property in another state. I'm going to move to Tennessee. We're looking real hard down in Tennessee. We're going to get into a hundred thousand person population town or less, and stuff like that. I can buy a piece of property, and my property taxes are going to be $1,000 a year. I'm paying over almost $8,000 a year in property taxes.
Where do you live now? Where do you live now, Dennis?
Streamwood, western suburbs. I grew up in the city. I grew up about a mile from Wrigley Field.
Okay, hold on 1 second. You got a lot going on there. I want to get a response from him. What are you hearing? What do you want to say about all of that?
I definitely hear what Dennis is saying. Property taxes is often cited by a lot of different people, including people that we interviewed for this story and made the cut of the story. So I'm not. I think that there's a variety of factors, and for Dennis, this may be something that drives him away, right? But if you're moving to Tennessee, you're also moving to a place that may the actual what you're getting in terms of your house is going to be more affordable. You're trading in cost of living issues, that sort of thing. So again, it's a very personal decision based on whoever is making it at that time.
Sure. Right? So there's no wrong answer. Like, I could debate you about, do we all have an obligation to publicly educate all of the kids? Maybe we educated your kids when they were younger, and I didn't have anybody in at the time. Or maybe if we educate all of our kids, they won't, you know, steal stuff out of your garage. Let's just educate our kids. I think we all have an obligation to do that. I can win that argument maybe, but that maybe isn't persuasive to him. He still feels like he wants to leave Illinois. I wonder what the state is that people most want to stay in, which has the lowest exodus. Did you guys find that data necessarily?
That's very interesting. I don't think that we looked at that specifically.
Yeah. We're more focused on who's coming into Illinois
right.
and who's leaving Illinois. And
right.
if you're just joining us, the point is Illinois is in the middle of the pack for exodus, but we're third to last. Am I right about this?
Yes, in terms of people coming in.
Coming in.
Yeah.
So we have, I think we have a bigger problem attracting people. The weather doesn't help us, right?
No, you would think not. I think one thing that... one thing that was interesting about Dennis's call, this wanting to retire and go somewhere else for retirement, we did a previous story about population trends in the area, just looking at cities and towns. And for the most part, you know, it's kind of bleak around here. Most municipalities are still losing population, including Chicago in the past years. But the ones that we did find were booming or doubling in size. One of them, Huntley, was doing so because it was attracting a lot of people who were looking for retirement.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there is a big retirement community up there.
Right. Yeah. Sun City.
Anecdotally, 630 retired Wheaton school superintendents making $26,000 a month in pension. That just ticks people off. John, it's simple. It's the taxes. You know, there's no wrong answers. Everybody has their own reasons. Even if, John, people are leaving blue and running for areas of red. That's a political statement. Do you find that? Are people sufficiently angry? I have 30 seconds here at the politicians in Illinois that's a reason people leave the state?
I think that it is definitely something that people are citing, and it's very real. However, the top five out-migration states for Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, California, and Florida are a mix. It's a mix of red and blue. So people are not just automatically fleeing because of politics.
Patrick O'Connell, Cecilia Reyes. Listen, I'm out of time today. Come back into our studio again.
Thinking big thoughts. So you don't have to.
Lots of text.
Here's John Williams.
Lots of text today and sharing with us, as some of you did on the phone a few minutes ago, why you left Illinois. Come on now. Come on back to the state. I thought what they said was really interesting. I'll get to that in just a second here. Hi, how are you? I hope this is interesting, too. I'm John. Weekdays 1 to 3. Saturdays 10 to noon. Our guests from the Tribune who've been doing that deep dive into census and other data about why people leave Illinois. Why is our state's population shrinking? Fewer and fewer people to maybe drive on the Eisenhower with you, but also fewer people to pay taxes. And if you had your druthers, and I'll say this on a day when congestion was a nightmare on the highways, we need more people than fewer. We need more people than fewer. And yet we're one of the fastest shrinking states. And it's not because people are leaving at a greater rate. It's because they're not coming in. That's the problem. I mean, whenever we do this, you can call right now. I've got a minute. 312-981-7200. Why'd you leave? Or why are you thinking about leaving? And I appreciate your call. But the guy that called in a little while ago and said, why should I have to pay a high property tax for public schools that my kids don't go to, because I'm a retiree, I don't have kids in school, I think that misses the mark completely. We all have to pay for public school. If we don't educate the kids, then we just educate criminals. Let's educate the kids. They're going to be in your garage stealing your bicycle if you don't educate the kids. And by the way, when I didn't have kids, I was paying for your kids. Now you got to pay for my kids. It's just the cycle of life. You may have reasons Well, you don't like living in Illinois. You may not like Mike Madigan. You may not like the day that every single day there's another story about some state or city politician going to jail. You guys are the biggest dummies that go to jail in the state of Illinois, because if you've read a newspaper in the last 100 years, you know they will catch you. You will eventually get caught. Ed Burke may finish his career in jail. Mike Madigan, probably not so much, but a lot of you would throw him in there if you could. I mean, come on. But is that a reason why you actually go, you know, honey, I'm tired of reading this latest story about the Danny Solis wire. Let's go. And the neighbors will say, why are you leaving? And you'll say, I'm tired of Illinois politics. And they'll go, well, we are too, but we're going to stay here. I mean, nobody really leaves for that reason. You just stay and don't like it. It gives you something to talk about at backyard parties. So I'm not exactly sure, you know, what your story is about why you're leaving or what you're unhappy about. But again, our guests would tell you more germane is the fact that these unknown people don't move in. We're third to last for people coming in. We're in the middle of the pack for people going out. If we could just do more to bring people in, we'd be okay. I don't know if the Illinois Department of something or another is doing something. We need to be running commercials in Texas saying, hey, you think it's humid here? Come on up to Illinois. Don't tell them it gets humid here as well. It's never as humid in Chicago as it is in Houston. So we got that going for us. I don't know if that's a jingle, but something like that. Plus, I don't know. My wife and I not infrequently observe that when we see stories about hurricanes in Florida and up the East Coast, as well as the Gulf, and we see stories about fires in California, and when you hear that it's going to be 118 degrees in Arizona and Nevada, you know, the weather in Chicago, to me, is looking better all the time. Am I alone on this? I don't think so. I don't know if you're going to run an ad campaign saying, come to Illinois, the weather's great, but... It's not as tragic as it is in some other places. Hey, Brian, you're on WGN Radio. What do you want to say? You're on the air.
Hi, John. You're making me laugh.
Oh, good. Hooray.
You know, everybody in my friend group has either moved on or is planning to move on. We're all at or in retirement age. I just turned 60 this year. My taxes, I live in unincorporated Palatine in Cook County. My property taxes are $12,000 a year. Palatine is not a ritzy suburb.
What's the square footage of your home?
2,100. I do not live in a big house. I do live on a half acre, but in an old subdivision that was built in the 60s.
12,000. So, wow.
So 2,000 square foot house, $12,000, and I just got a huge bump in my property taxes that will take me to near $15,000 a year, and I have to appeal. I am appealing them, as are all my neighbors. if you don't appeal, you got no chance. And so I do not want to leave this state. My kids are here. My new grandson is here. I have no choice but to either move way out west into some really small house that I can afford the taxes on, or over the border in Wisconsin or whatever. My wife and I love the changing of the seasons, and I don't think there's any finer place to live than Chicago area. But it's just psycho. I mean, they're going to tax people to come to work in the city. I mean, come on.
How about that? That's the mayor's idea. And so if you drive into the downtown, coming and going, you're going to pay a hefty fee just to walk your car through the city line.
My son lives in the city and sold his car and does public transportation. Kudos to him. I don't go to the city for very much anymore because it's $30 to park to go to a 3-hour show. It's, you know, it's just stupid, and they just won't quit. Now, the real point I wanted to make was that in all these other places like Nashville and Charlotte and other places, they have much, much, much lower property taxes. They provide the same fire and police and all of those services. They have far fewer number of homes from which to draw taxes, and yet the taxes are 10% in cases, 20% of what we pay here.
Yeah.
The money is being wasted, and the politicians, both sides, just will not wake up and quit wasting our money.
I'm glad you called. I hope somebody important is listening. I sure am. Thanks for joining us today, Brian.
Thanks, man.
Have a good day. John, the schools are not good for the amount we pay in taxes. John, we'll see how that guy moving to Tennessee, Dennis, feels when he tries to get a good beef sandwich. That's my quip. You know, okay, fine, move to Kentucky. And when you get there, you'll be in Kentucky. Really, they just don't have the Cubs and the White Sox and the Blackhawks and the Bulls and the Bears. They don't have our lakefront. They don't have our museums. I don't know if that's any consolation, because listen to this. John, I moved to a red state. I'm hoping to turn it purple. 815, taxes, especially property taxes. I work hard for my house. I'll have my mortgage paid off in 7 years. I'd love to retire in 15 years or so, but my taxes have exceeded my mortgage. 630, I moved out of Illinois. It was getting too expensive to live there. 630, it's the taxes. Let's pick up another phone. Joe, you're on WGN. What did you want to say?
The violence, the corruption. It's all there. Forget about the taxes. You know what? Chicago is beautiful. It's a beautiful city. State of Illinois is great. But Chicago, I can't live there. I can't live there anymore. And nobody's doing anything about the violence. These poor people are being killed. It's terrible.
Joe, thanks for the call. I'm going from you. I'm going to get a lot of voices in now because our phone lines are off the hook. Thank you, sir. I'm really glad you joined us. Tom, you're on the air. Go.
Hi. I was a volunteer last fall for the Pritzker for Governor campaign, and like these last couple callers were just talking about, the number one issue that always kept coming up with constituents was taxes, especially in Cook County, people who lived in Cook County. There was like a time they would say where they were willing to pay their fair share of taxes to have good schools for kids and stuff, but they just, you know, it's just too much being overtaxed for every little thing.
So did you think JB heard that? Did JB hear that?
Yeah. Well, they've tried now to, you know, they're talking about changing the formula for how schools are funded.
Right.
So it doesn't come out of income tax anymore. That's going to be a referendum this fall, I believe, down in Springfield. And then also, when I got out of college, came back here in 1990, Chicago was thriving, and the state of Illinois was in good shape still. And I just don't understand how it turned so sour. I mean, this was a place where we had national attention with the six Michael Jordan championships, and Oprah Winfrey was here, and O'Hare Airport was the number one airport, and expanding.
You cut out, buddy, but I hear you. There have been, I don't know, those aren't economic indicators. That's just the vibe of the city. The Bulls were winning. Oprah was a national sensation. O'Hare was the number one airport. You were proud of all of that. I don't want to get into a debate, but I could probably play that game with you. I don't know if I'll win, Jen, but I'm thinking of things people are especially proud about in Illinois right now.
This will take some time.
Cubs 2016. I'll get back to you on some other things. Maurice, you're on WGN. What did you want to say?
Hi, John. You know, I too like the gentleman that just called. I'm about 2 years away from retirement. The only reason I would not stay here, I should also say that my wife's a city employee. So I'm obligated to stay in here in the city.
Yeah.
But overwhelmingly, the violence is off the chart. Now, I'm not saying necessarily I would leave state of Illinois, but I would like to be a little closer to the lines of the city and the suburbs, places that are not as prevalent with crime. I can see myself, John, 65, 70 years old, retirement, wanting to walk outside the house with my dog and walk to the park and, hey, just being so uneasy about some young punk talking about, hey, pops, let me have your wallet, or even worse, blow my brains out. See, I want to be comfortable. There's a certain level of comfort I'd like to feel with my retirement, and I just don't see Chicago being that place.
Boy, I hope somebody's listening to this show. Maurice, great call. Thanks for joining. Thanks for listening. Tom, it's your turn. You're on WGN. Hi, Tom. Breaker, breaker, Tommy. I'll come back to Tom in a second. Let's go to Carrie. You're on WGN. Hi, Carrie.
Hey, King John. Hey, I'm coming to two different directions. I grew up on the northwest side, Belmont and Central. My wife and I went to school in DeKalb at NIU, then went away for 18 years for work in Madison, Wisconsin, and decided about 7 years ago to come back. We live in Sycamore. So the first thing when I found a realtor and called her, the first thing out of her mouth was, "Do you realize that DeKalb County has almost the highest taxes in the entire country?"
DeKalb.
I said, "Yes, I think I know that."
Yeah.
And this is a person who's gained, you know, she said this before I said anything. This is a person, you know, who's going to stand a lot, you know, make a lot of money off me when I buy a house. And then at closing, there was a welcome back to Illinois tax, which was nice. It was only like $150.
What do they call that?
It's on the books. It's when you move back. It's not officially. That's what they call it. That's what my lawyer called
it. No, but that's okay. It's a relocation tax or something like that. But really, if you move away and then you move back in,
yes.
they have a special fee for that?
Yes, sir.
I do not believe this. I do not believe
this is
that.
True. Now, this is true.
All you do is call radio shows and tell lies. That's all you're doing now. You're just making this up, Kerry.
No, I swear. It's called something else.
Producer Aleph, look it up. Is there a tax for people who've left Illinois and then they come back and we're taxing them for the privilege of coming back to this place?
My neighbor is one of the best lawyers in Sycamore. I will walk to his house and I can put him on the phone. I'm telling you.
You get that man on the phone. I do. This is insane.
So we're looking seriously, when we retire, hopefully within the next 10 years, we're looking at like South Carolina, a place where it's not so insane. I mean,
all right, I'm really sorry you called, Kerry. I want you to write the phone number down of this radio station and promise me you'll never dial it again, okay?
Thanks, King Jeff.
You have a good day. That's not so. What on earth rationale is that? What's the rationale of that? That doesn't make any sense. Maybe that's my problem. I'm trying to make sense. Aleph just handed me 5 pages of text. John, we have to pay for schools. Why do we have to pay so much more the cost of other state schools? John, my question is, where is all the school money from our taxes going? Programs are cut. Teachers are begging for supplies. They might go on strike. I don't mind paying, but what are we getting for it? And on they go. John, I lack 630. John, I like access to plenty of fresh, clean water. Well, we do have that. It's 221. I'll pick up more of our phone lines. Jim, you're on WGN Radio. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great this afternoon. Love the show. I do miss WGN, but 18 months ago I left for Knoxville, Tennessee, and it's the greatest thing we ever did.
I'm glad for you. I'm sorry we lost you. Why'd you leave?
I spent my whole life here, and at age 60, I'm still working. But, you know, just what every other caller said, property taxes and state income tax. Between my wife and I, we bought the same value house down there, and our overhead changed by $26,000 to the good. Our property taxes went from just over $13 to $1,000 a year.
It's amazing.
And there's no state income tax. Weather's obviously a little nicer, but that was not a factor.
What's the worst part? I get all of that, but tell me something you miss about Chicago or don't like about Tennessee.
There actually is nothing we don't like. The weather's fantastic.
Call
the
me back. Come up with
great.
Something.
Wait,
just
wait,
tell
wait.
Me
here's,
something.
Here's one thing.
All right.
They don't have good pizza. And they don't have good takeout. But guess what, John? I mean, our friends are coming, they're visiting, and they're staying. I mean, we have literally attracted 5 other couples, people that are still working. I commute. I'm in Chicago right now. I come up, I commute, I stay 3 or 4 days, and then I go back, and it works for me. And not everybody can do it. But you know what? When you look at the problems, and the issues are really simple, you know, the pension liabilities and all the other things that are on the books, there's no way for the politicians to pull it back. Look at what's happened with Chicago teachers right now. They're about to go on strike. They want more money. That money's got to come from somewhere, and it comes from, guess what, the residents of the state. And it's sad, but I just don't see, when you look long term, there's no end in sight. That's finally what we woke up to, is like, hey, this is not going to get any better. We're holding out hope. And
how old are you, Jim?
I'm 60.
60. So we could have got 10, 15 more years of mileage out of you as a wage earner and taxpayer up here, but we lost you.
And a good wage earner. Yeah.
How do you commute? Do you fly or drive?
I do both. I'm lucky. My son works for the airline, so that helps. But I'm in my vehicle now, headed back. I've been up here for a few days. Mm-hmm. Now I've got a place to stay when I come. And I just talked to another friend of the doing the same. He's leaving McHenry County, and he's a big income earner. And he goes, I love what you're doing. I can do that. And then he says, the state will buy me a house. Illinois will buy me a house by the money I save in property and income taxes. He says, I'll get a free house in Tennessee. How great is that? So, anyways, love the show.
Yeah. Would you stop it? Would you stop talking to your friends, Jim?
It's a no-brainer when they come to see us, you know? Like, and the weather's great, right? So you've got mountains, you've got water.
All right, I'm tired of talking. I don't care. I don't care.
Come see us. You'll be the next one.
Thanks for your call, Jim.
Be well.
Yeah, be well. Be well. Be well. We got Lou Malnati's pizza. Nobody send him a frozen pizza. Nobody send Jim in Tennessee a frozen pizza. Jen, Kevin, we got to come up with a list of good things about Illinois because I'm feeling a little down right now.
You know what's funny, John? It's not always 50s or 60s people moving out. My cousin, who's my age, is moving his family down to Tennessee. So you're losing out on potential, you know, he just had a baby. He's building a house down there. It's way cheaper. His house is twice the size of the one he owns.
Yeah. I kind of like the fact that not everybody in the city looks exactly like me. I learned so much about every different culture and background and religion.
Jen DeSalvo, thank you.
That's kind of why I moved back to the city after my parents had brought me out to the suburbs. I just wanted
diversity.
Yeah, wanted more.
Little excitement in life. I mean, frankly, that low taxes, good weather, happy people in Tennessee sounds boring. Who wants that? It doesn't sound in that. There's no fun in that.
I mean, mountains are cool, yeah, but whatever. We have, like, you know, Cricket Hill and Montrose Beach and, you know, also some parking garages. Those are tall.
We will pause here. I'm going to reset. It's 2:29. Jen's going to do the news. We'll finish your calls and conversation. Are we talking to a lion tamer in the next half hour, Ms. Garris? That's a big no. Maybe we will. No, no, no. Oh, no, no. She's confident. Thank you, Jen DeSalvo. This is John Williams. It's 2:39 on WGN Radio. Out of the 2:30 news, producer Olive likes to feature a song. And there's usually something behind it, a reason why she's playing it. Why are we listening to Justin Bieber?
Confident. That's a good adjective to describe Kylie Jenner at his wedding over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
She rocked a sexy, sparkling gold dress to Justin and Hailey Bieber's wedding last weekend in South Carolina. But critics on social media accuse Kylie of upstaging the bride. Because that's what people on social media do.
Justin Bieber's now married to Hailey Bieber. What was Hailey's maid name before she was Hailey Bieber?
Baldwin.
Hailey Baldwin. Oh, no, they're kidding. Alec Baldwin's daughter?
His niece.
Niece. So the Baldwin married the Biebs. Yeah, this is the second time for them, right?
Yeah, they wanted to include all their family and friends, so they did a second ceremony.
Oh, so they didn't split up and then get remarried. Rather, they just had another ceremony.
Yeah.
So I've seen the picture of... Who's the Jenner
Kylie.
Girl? Kylie. And it's cut way up to here. Her leg.
Very high up her thigh.
And it's a gorgeous kind of glittery lamé golden dress. And then on top, there's a lot of fabric that isn't there. You know what I mean? And it's fantastic. And
I love it.
She looks gorgeous. And, but if... I don't know if this applies to celebrities, but if the idea is you don't upstage the bride, that train left. She is unbelievable. Well, she's not the bride. The bride is walking down the aisle. Now, maybe it's okay if it's the second wedding, or it's okay if you're a Jenner and this is kind of what you hired. Wouldn't you be sad if a Kardashian or Jenner showed up and they were just wearing a pantsuit? No, that's not why you invite them.
Wait.
You invite them to look fabulous.
No. Not if my wedding is littered with celebrities.
So it's okay then.
Yeah. And you know what? She's young, she's pretty, and she's confident. And she like feels good in this dress. So she's dressing up for her friend's wedding.
And wear it to the prom. But I just think I'm with you. I think I'm about 80% there, Elif. But really, is there no self-regard? Is there no, oh, wait, I'm in a room with other people. How do I? I'll bet she talks at movies too. Is there any sense of community here? Like, where am I? What's my obligation? What's my role here? Now, maybe they said it would be so awesome if you wore the most amazing dress because you're Kylie Jenner, and it'll be and you're Kylie Jenner. Oh my God! So bring the full Kylie Jenner. Maybe they wanted that. If they wanted that, fine. But if they didn't, do we know? Does the bride have her nose out of joint? Twitter does.
Sorry? Does the bride what?
Have her nose out of joint. It's an expression. Is she upset about it?
Yeah. No, because it's up to the bride at the end of the day, like you're asking. And if Hailey Bieber seems like a perfectly happy with herself, okay with herself person.
Well, she's kind of pretty, too.
She's beautiful. Okay. And she seems fine with herself, right. So...
Put it this way.
Why would she mind?
Yeah, because it's her wedding. And if so, she tweets out this week, really ticked at Kylie or whichever the people
I can't imagine her doing that.
If she does, I'm on Team Hailey.
I mean, I just want people to dress up and care about what they wear at my wedding. And if they're a billionaire, then I really want them to care.
Right, you want them to bring it.
And they're rich and famous.
You would rather them err on that side than show up with their best trucker hat.
Yeah. Because then they care.
Yeah. Well, this did take some effort, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. It is 2:43. This is WGN. Our last calls about the exodus from Illinois and why. I think, John, a lot of you had interesting things to say about it. And John on line 4 has been patiently waiting. Thanks for your call, John. You're on the air.
Hello, John. This is John. How are you?
Good. What did you want to say?
Well, I just read an article. Kiplinger's has... Illinois ranked as the first state with the worst taxes in the United States.
Really?
And that includes, yeah, so you can Google that, but it includes things like, of course, property taxes, income taxes, cellular taxes, amusement taxes, sales taxes, everything else that we've got going. It's as I will mention, though, we should also stop the words common sense and fair share because... It's in the eye of the beholder.
What do you mean by that?
Well, common sense, gun control, it would be everyone's own opinion, right? Or common sense, fair share taxes, in the eye of the beholder. J.B. Pritzker has a different view than someone else, certainly.
Well, if what you're talking about is this, and I hated it, I resented it when they said we should have a fair share tax in Illinois, and I think, sure, fair, as long as it's $1 more than I make is the threshold for the higher property taxes or income taxes. I think I guarantee you, I pay a lot of taxes. I am paying my fair share of taxes. It's possible that my income tax will go up because I'm a high wage earner. And I guess that's everybody else is going to say fair, but it doesn't feel fair to me. I think I am paying plenty of taxes. I think what would be fair is if the state of Illinois started spending it more wisely. Are you and I on the same page on that, John?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the pension system is something they're not going to solve, and I really don't know what the answer is, to be honest with you.
Well, then when I get to be king, I won't put you in charge of that.
Fair enough.
Thanks for the call, sir.
Okay. Thanks, John.
Jen, did you just make a face when I said that I think rather than me pay more taxes, the state of Illinois should spend it more wisely?
I might have made a face, but I didn't think I was making a face towards that. I think I was making it at a tweet that I was writing.
listen to this a text which is poured in. Somebody mentioned that they're paying $12,000 a year in property taxes for a 2,000-square-foot home here in the Chicago area. This texter said, $12,000 a year for property taxes? I live in a 3,100-square-foot home on three-quarters of an acre in a 14-year-old brick home on the outskirts of Chattanooga, 2 hours from Atlanta. I'm 2.5 hours from Nashville. I'm 2 hours from Knoxville. The downtown Chattanooga area is booming. We have an aquarium that was built with private money that's better than shed. My principal, interest, taxes, and insurance are $14,000 a year. Remember, the other guy was paying $12,000 a year in taxes. And that includes free garbage pickup and a neighborhood pool. Yes, I pay an HOA fee of $120 a year. Plus, gas here is $2.19 a gallon, and there's no state income tax. I have to stop reading these. This is the most depressing show I've done in a month. This is the most depressing show since, I don't know, the Cubs started losing in September. So I'll just stop. I don't know. Should I take any more of these calls? What are we looking at here? More of this? Three? Let's talk to Jeff. You're on WGN. Hi, Jeff.
Yes, John.
What?
Down here in Florida, I know you used to always have your Florida report.
Yep.
It was true because I moved here coming up on 6 years ago, and the folks are insane. You know, they don't teach the children. I had a teacher living below me when I lived in Indian Rocks Beach.
Yeah.
And, yeah, oh, boy, they're giving her $34,000 a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're not giving her anything in the way of help to teach the children.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just foolishness. And cops used to be filmed up here in Pasco County, just to the north of us. I'm in Pinellas. They finally stopped because people are figuring out in the county it makes them look like a bunch of yahoos.
Did you do the thing where you type in your birthday and the words of Florida man? If you go to Google or just, you know, open up a browser and type in the browser bar a Florida man and your birthday, and you'll always get a story about something crazy somebody in Florida did.
And the CBS affiliate down here, for a while, they've stopped it. Used to do a Florida man thing, and all I could think of was you.
I'm hanging up on you, but I appreciate
that they would make fun of themselves.
Well, at least we got that going for us. Thank you for the phone call, Jeff. Thanks for listening to us.
Take care.
You have a good day. By the way, Kevin Powell getting ready to do sports with Ro and Anna. I turned off the TV last night after it was pretty clear Milwaukee was going to win that baseball game.
It was a wild, wild card game, John, but the Nationals finally getting a postseason victory over the Brewers, who had a 3-1 lead in the eighth inning.
Turned it off.
And it was Juan Soto coming up big with three-run RBI single because he ended up getting thrown out at second. But there was an error on the right fielder, allowed all the runs to score, and just like that, great start to the postseason, despite having no Chicago teams in it.
I know. Brendan and I have been talking about that. You know, we live near Wrigley Field, and we've just been lamenting the loss, how much fun it would be if right now we were all wrapped up in that. Oh, man.
Well, when I felt the same way, John, when I was watching. Oh, man. There's nothing like playoff baseball where every single pitch feels huge.
And it's a series of games. I mean, not the wild card, of course, but I mean, if you're in a seven-game series, you live with that for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And the weeks before.
Right.
And Milwaukee had such a great run-up. I mean, they won all of their games, it seemed, at the end there.
Right.
And I wonder how the people in Washington are feeling. You let Bryce Harper go. See ya. Take your $300 million.
Right.
And what happened?
And you know how Bryce Harper and his Phillies were knocked out of the postseason, right? That was them losing to the Nationals in Washington a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, really?
So it was Harper and the Phillies. He's facing his former team in Washington. The fans are booing him. And the Nationals won, I believe, on a walk-off, and that mathematically eliminated Harper's Phillies on his old home turf.
Didn't he then say, boy, I can't wait to get back to Philadelphia?
Get me out of here. Yeah, I think so.
You know, which is not a town friend, you know, known to be fan-friendly. But,
right.
He didn't want to.
He couldn't win either way. He's going to get booed in Washington, and the Phillies, they don't take losses like that lightly with their sports teams.
Well, here's a tip if you're getting $300 million. We don't need to talk about Bryce Harper, but just a tip. Hit 300 for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Or hit 50 home runs. Do something during that pay.
Well, the guy who had the winning hit last night is Juan Soto. He's a 20-year-old, John. They called him up last year as a 19-year-old, and I had a chance to see him play a few games at Wrigley this year and talking to some other reporters. And I think he's got, if Mike Trout ever fades, which I don't know what will ever happen because he's just like a baseball god in my eyes, and he doesn't seem to be slowing down. But Juan Soto has a shot to be the best baseball player in the world. I think that's how good he is. Just all the skill sets you could possibly want in a baseball player. He can run, he can throw, he can obviously hit for power, he can hit for average, all those things. He's so much fun to watch. But and that's to the point of Harper. That's one of the reasons where I know the Nationals were trying to, they did offer him a contract at one point, but you can let him walk when you have a generational type talent right behind him.
How about that? By the way, speaking of a young talent, did Eloy Jimenez win the American League Rookie of the Year or just Rookie of the Month?
Rookie of the Month for September.
When do they get Rookie of the Year?
Normally, this after the postseason, we get it. They like all the focus to be on the baseball games and stuff. So.
Well, they are off to a good start there.
Yeah.
Okay. You are ready to roll with Anna DeVlantis, Rokan. Jen DeSalvo's in the news and traffic booths, so we'll let you guys do it. We already have a winner for our Teddy Roosevelt tickets. Is that correct, Ms. Garris? Margaret, congratulations. We'll see you at the show. I want you to come to the show, too. Please come. Go to WGNradio.com/Teddy and get your tickets to our show. It's not this Saturday. It's the Saturday after, October 12th, 10:30 a.m. at Elgin Community College and the Blizzard Theater.